Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're on our very last Sunday of our series, Ignited, A Journey with the Holy Spirit. And let me just quickly have a quick overview of what we've learned so far in this series. So the Christian life was never ever meant to be lived in our own strength. Jesus made it clear that we would need divine help. This is why he promised the Holy Spirit to come. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra if you're a Christian. It's essential. Without him, we are powerless. With him, we are empowered for effective ministry and transformed from genuine spiritual growth. And throughout this series, we've explored three key roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Firstly, the Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. Secondly, the Holy Spirit transforms us for spiritual growth. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit leads us in daily life and communion with God. So the Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus told his disciples they would receive power to be his witnesses. Before Pentecost, the disciples, you'll know, they were fearful. But after the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they were boldly preaching, they were healing people, and they stood strong under persecution. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit inside them. The Holy Spirit filled them, and as a result of that filling of the Holy Spirit, they had spiritual gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit gives us gifts like wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And remember, they're not talents. These are not talents, but the divine empowerments designed to build the church. And every single Christian, regardless of who you are, receives at least one gift to serve others. So they're not exclusive. Everybody receives at least one gift to serve others. They then had boldness and clarity. Think about Peter, who denied Jesus, then he preached boldly to thousands in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit gave him courage and clarity, qualities we need in a world that often opposes the truth. They had supernatural guidance. You see in Acts 13 that the Spirit directed the Antioch church to send Barnabas and Saul, but then in Acts 16, he redirected Paul to go to Macedonia, stopped them going one way and told them to go another way. Effective ministry requires much more than just strategy. It requires sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. Secondly, the Holy Spirit transforms us for spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit works not only externally, but internally, changing our hearts and making us more like Jesus. It gives us regeneration and new birth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, that no one can enter God's kingdom without being born of the Spirit. The Spirit brings us to faith, it convicts us, and it gives us new life. It gives us the fruit of the Spirit. We've been looking at that over the last few weeks. Galatians 5, 22-23 lists love, joy, peace, patience, and much, much more. Not virtues we produce ourselves, but fruit that grows as we walk with the Holy Spirit. It helps us in our journey of sanctification. And sanctification is just the process of becoming more like Jesus. The Spirit helps us to overcome our fleshly desires and walk in obedience to what God wants us to do. The Holy Spirit convicts us and corrects us. In John 16:8, Jesus said the Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The conviction continues in us, correcting us and guiding us back when we go astray. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit leads us in daily life and communion with God. See, our walk with God is not just about ministry or growth. It's about relationship. The Holy Spirit enables a deep personal connection with God. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and our teacher. Jesus called him our helper in John 14:26. The Spirit teaches us, reminds us of Jesus' words and reveals the meaning of Scripture. Let me remind you that we cannot understand or apply the Word, the Bible, without the Holy Spirit guiding us. The Holy Spirit helps us with prayer and intercession. Romans 8:26 says the Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us when we do not want to pray. He empowers our prayer life and aligns us with God's will. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance and adoption. Romans 8:15-16 reminds us that the Spirit assures us that we are God's children. He brings security, confidence, and peace as we walk with Him day by day. The Holy Spirit is not a force or a feeling. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God living in us. To ignore the Holy Spirit is to live in spiritual weakness and to live in frustration. But to walk with Him is to live a life of power, transformation, and intimacy with God. So let's not rely on our own strength. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit day by day. Ephesians 5:18 says, so do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And this filling of the Spirit is not a one-time event, but a lifestyle of surrender and dependence. And that was a quick whistle-stop tour of all the weeks that we've just been looking at, wrapped up in 5 minutes. But throughout Scripture, though, anointing oil serves as a powerful symbol of God's presence, of God's favour, and God's divine commissioning. It's much more than fragrant oil. It represents the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in setting someone apart for God's purposes. From the anointing of kings and priests in the Old Testament to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, there is a consistent link between the anointing and empowerment. In Exodus 30, God instructs Moses to prepare a holy anointing oil, which should be used to consecrate the tabernacle, its furnishings, and consecrate the priests ready to serve. And let me tell you, let me remind you, this act of anointing was not merely a ceremony. It wasn't ceremonial, it was spiritual. Those anointed were marked as holy, set apart, and equipped for service. And the oil signified the presence of God upon them, qualifying them for tasks far greater than they could have ever achieved on their own strength. And then you fast forward to the New Testament and we find the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to speak in other tongues, to prophesy, to heal, and to boldly proclaim the gospel. The Holy Spirit became a divine source of strength, guidance, and miracles in the lives of ordinary men and women. And although the Holy Spirit is not confined to physical elements, the use of anointing oil continues to serve as a meaningful point of contact for us today. When applied with prayer and faith, it symbolizes our desire to be filled, consecrated, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Just as oil saturates and changes everything it touches, so too does the Holy Spirit transform every single part of a surrendered life. See, when we anoint ourselves or others with oil, we are not engaging in superstition or ritual, but we are actually engaging in a prophetic act. We are declaring, Lord, set me apart, fill me, empower me to do what only you can do through me. The oil is a physical representation of an invisible truth. God's Spirit has been invited to take over, to flow through us and to manifest His power in and through our lives. So if you've got a Bible handy, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read through verses 1 to 7. It will be up on the screen behind me. So 2 Kings 4. It says there, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts, you and your sons can live on what is left. Amen. And I think right in that story, right at the start, there's a powerful confession of faith that she didn't even realize she was making. See, as long as there's a jar of oil, God can do supernatural things. As long as there's hunger, the anointing still flows. But when there's no vessel capable of receiving, then that's a blockage to what the power of God will really do in an atmosphere of faith. As long as we're open, as long as there is empty vessels, that's why we've got to keep bringing people to church. That's why we have to keep filling this place with fresh vessels so that oil keeps flowing and touching hearts and touching lives. She said there's nothing but a jar of oil or a flask of oil. Some theologians will tell you that it was her husband, the prophet's anointing oil, that was left in the little jar. This is what he would have used to anoint people with oil. She said, I just have this old flask of oil. There's not much oil in it. Maybe just enough for one more anointing. But that's all we have. One more anointing is actually enough. One more anointing is actually enough. One more anointing, one more measure of God's power is enough. One more impartation of the power of God can be enough to shift everything in your life. Everything. You might be in a season right now that seems hopeless. But let me tell you, one touch of the power of God can change everything. One touch. And I think sometimes we can underestimate the power of a God encounter. Sometimes we underestimate what God can do in a moment. We underestimate the significance of the dunamis, the explosive power of heaven coming upon us as yielded vessels today. See, in John chapter 2, when Jesus turned the water into wine, at that wedding feast in Cana, they said, you've saved the best wine until last. Think about it. Planting the seeds, growing the grapes and maturing the wine to become the best wine doesn't happen in an instant. Here's the bottom line. I researched that it should have taken a minimum of 4 years, but normally 8 years, for those seeds to become that fine, best wine. What did Jesus do? He did it in a moment. One moment, he did it. God can take a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old problem, and in one moment, turn that around and make something happen. That's the power of a touch from God. You might have a problem today and you don't know how you're going to make it. You might be in a situation that seems impossible, but let me remind you, we serve a God who deals in the realm of impossible all the time. And I'm believing that today, you can declare, I'm leaving this place under a new anointing. I'm leaving this place under a new touch from God. She says, all I've got is a little oil. Let me tell you, a little oil is all you need. A little oil is enough. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because why? He's anointed me with oil. David, the psalmist says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. 1 John 2:20 talks about an anointing to do with what God's called you to do. 1 John 2:27 says, the anointing you've received from him abides in you. Isaiah says, I'll give you oil for joy for mourning. In other words, anointing and oil go together. Let me tell you, oil does things. It releases flavor. Think of hot bread, just freshly baked hot bread, and you rip it up and you eat it and it tastes amazing. But man, fire some butter on top of that and dip it in the oil. Takes it to a whole different level. Now we're talking. Do you know, I remember when I was growing up, and you go to my grand's, and I come from a big family. Like, I've got over 100 first direct cousins. I've got two big massive families on either side. You go to my grand's house on a Saturday, if more people turned up for dinner, no problem. More boiled potatoes. That's what you got, more boiled potatoes. Whatever the meat was, it just got divvied up between more people. But there's more potatoes. I hated those boiled potatoes. Like, just plain, boring boiled potatoes. But hey, some of you will remember this because you're quite old like me. But if you went to the York Cafe in Falkirk, and they had chips in there, who remembers the York Cafe chips that were like big, massive things? It was the same potatoes, but the York Cafe dipped them in oil. Like, before you get offended, I got saved in the Presbyterian church. So, like, The boiled potatoes were a bit like the Presbyterian church. Bland. The chips and the York coffee dipped in the oil, man, that was full on Pentecostal. Like, come on, like, that's what it was. I want Pentecostal potatoes dipped in the oil. Like, the greatest car engineers in the world can design an engine that works together with cogs and all that stuff, but they need to put oil in the engine so that it works together. You take the oil out, what happens? The engine goes bang, doesn't it work anymore? Like, when you get some oil in your walk with Jesus, there's an endurance that you get. Sometimes one of the reasons people lose their way is because they don't get touched with fresh oil from heaven. That's what happens to us. So today, we want to anoint you with oil. Why? Because we want you to make it. This Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We want to run the race set before us, always looking to Jesus. Then be able to say what the Apostle Paul says, I've finished my race. I've finished my race. We want to run the race set before us, always looking to Jesus. We don't want just to be a flash in the pan. We need to be dipped in oil. Oil is important. Why? Because it works. Simple as that, it works. Right here in this story, this woman says, all I have in this house is some oil. Today, the person praying for you, all they're going to have in their hand is a little bit of oil. What we do in partnership with what they do is where the power is. And I just want to show you a few things from this story for us to create an environment for oil to flow in our lives today. We can see a few things that this woman did that I want to encourage you to do today when somebody prays for you. And I'm believing for today that God's going to do incredible things as we partner together today. Like, I've been excited for this Sunday for a few weeks. The first thing I see in this story is that this woman believed again. She believed again. Her husband, the prophet, had died. She's in debt. She's about to lose everything, yet despite that massive disappointment in her life, she came in the man of God with the capacity to believe again. One more touch. And there might be times in your life that you're just thinking, like, man, everything's gone. What can I do? But one of the things I always try and do in my life, no matter what comes along my way, is to never ever lose that ability to believe again. To believe again. I've been disappointed yesterday, but I believe again for today. There'll be times when you do everything you can in faith and it seems like the answer just does not come. See, the easy thing for us in human nature is to say, I'm backing off that now, I'm not going to believe again. I believe once and I got disappointed. That's exactly what the devil wants to do, wants you to do. I believe once, I was disappointed, so I'm not going to believe again. But if we can say, God, I'm still believing. Believe in you for anything. I don't want to get cynical. If it's in your word, then I believe it. Why? Because the day of miracles is not over. So I'm believing again. You may have stepped out in faith before, even on what you thought was a sure word from God. And it hasn't worked out just as you thought. Then you think, well, I'm done. I'm going to go to church. But our walls will go up and we love God, but we stop actually believing God. And I want to encourage you today. If that's you today, then you can say today, God, I've been disappointed before, but I'm here today and I'm believing again. I'm believing again. Let me tell you, it's not your job to do the miracle. It's just your job to believe God. Maybe you stepped out and you've been faithful, but something didn't work out, so you backed off. But you know that thing is what God called you to do, but you're backing off and backing off. I want to encourage you to believe again today. Maybe there's been sickness that's been unrelenting and you've just never had that breakthrough yet. Believe again. Believe again. Maybe there's disappointment in your own heart and mind. Let's believe again. If we lose our ability to believe again, then I believe the enemy puts us exactly where he wants us. See, that woman had every single reason to doubt. She said, I believe again. What do I do? Well, what have you got? I've got a little bit of oil in my house. Good. Let's work with that little bit of oil. See, resilience is such an underrated thing in a Christian. We should be people that when we get knocked down, we get straight back up again. See, I feel like I've been knocked down so many times, but I just get back up again. Why? Because my Bible says there's a new mercy every morning. If there's a new day, there's a new day. If there's a new sunrise, God's still on the throne. The Holy Spirit still the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is still alive. So I get up again. I believe again. I have every reason to believe again. So she believed again. Secondly, she partnered with the supernatural. See, we have to realize when it comes to the power of God, it's a partnership. See, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for the first time, think of the partnership that was happening in that moment. You came in faith, you asked God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He says, I give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So that's the thing you've done. Then he fills you up with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says you begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit enables. In other words, you speak, he gives the utterance. Do you see how you're working with God in that whole process? Let me remind you, it's not like you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you just stand there and you open your mouth and an angel flies down and starts shaking your tongue. That's not how it works. You have to speak and God gives you the utterance. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. What happens is you're partnering with God and together you see something supernatural happening. So many miracles in the Bible were partnerships with God. Go dip in the pool. Go present yourself to the priest. Go and dip in the river 7 times. There's something about partnering with God. Let's realize there's a partnership. They're going to pray for you, but you have to believe. You say, God, whatever it is you need me to do, I'm receiving this anointing today, but I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Even Jesus, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, he is linking the anointing to a purpose. He links the anointing to a cause. I heard someone say that the touch is for the task. In other words, you get touched by God to go and do the task. I'm believing that the touch is going to get on us today for the task ahead we have as a church. I'm believing that God's going to minister to people today in this room. There's going to be some chains broken off people's lives today. All in the name of Jesus. Why? Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you believe that this morning? Some of us do. Like, if you believe it, give me a shout and amen. If you at least believe that today, like. So in her partnership, he says, go and get all the jars, go and get all the receptacles you can find. She goes to all her neighbours' houses. I need your jars, I need all your Tupperware, all that stuff. The lids are missing, I need all of it. Everything you got. Can you imagine the neighbours asking her why? Because I need a jar, the oil's going to start flowing. Just give me a jar, provisions coming, blessings are coming. Can you imagine her neighbour saying, ever since her husband's gone, she's not quite been right? But can I say to you today, oh, how right she was. She's crazy enough to believe God again. She believed again. She partnered with the supernatural. And then thirdly, the miracle was given according to the measure of faith. See, the miracle was given in accordance to her measure of previous faith in borrowing all those vessels. There's a capacity that we have to receive the anointing. The bigger the capacity, the more God can pour into our world. And let me tell you today, church, I want to have a big capacity to receive. I don't want just a little dab of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Oh, there you go, that's nice. And go home. Like, I want to come in here and leave totally different from the way I walked in the door. I need the fire of God in my life. I need the anointing in my life today. See, we're living in times on earth where the church needs to be full or as full of the Holy Spirit as we've ever been. Not just the people that come to church, we need to actually be the church. When we come to church, we receive the power to be the church if we get filled with the Holy Spirit. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we go from being in the presence of God to the presence of God being within us. And I want to enlarge my capacity to receive and by partnering with the supernatural. See, the woman partners with the supernatural and she increased her capacity to receive. She's increased her capacity by borrowing every single thing that she could borrow. But she had to borrow empty vessels. See, there's something about being empty to be filled. In other words, when you're being prayed for, don't just simply say to the person praying for you, well, I've got this challenge, so God, you need to do this. No, that's not, we need to come and empty ourselves so that God can do in us what he wants to do in us. See, when we empty ourselves of pride, self-will, unforgiveness, sin and compromise, fear and doubt, reputation and image, past success and failures, busyness and distraction, comfort and convenience, control. We need to empty ourselves of all of these things. See, the oil flows when the vessel is empty. See, if we empty ourselves, God will fill us up again with his anointing. So she believed again. She partnered with the supernatural. The miracle was given according to her measure of faith. And then fourthly, she gave a sacrifice of praise. The band can come. See, when you read the story, the Bible says that she shut the door. She shut the door. Now, shutting the door wasn't just a kind of literal shut the door. It had a meaning in those times. To shut the door was actually an expression to say, I'm going to praise God. It was a picture of the secret place. She didn't just praise God. She praised God in a house full of empty pots. Like, she's literally in that moment being mocked by her lack. She's standing there praising God in front of the empty pots. Like, can you stand and praise God before your breakthrough? Before your healing comes? And we're going to worship in a minute. And we're going to pray and we're going to anoint people with oil today. And we're going to worship God and we're going to fix our eyes on him. Because we have faith in the one who makes a way. Maybe today you have a problem, then we need the anointing for that problem. Maybe today you're walking in total victory today, but let me remind you, if you think you can keep walking in victory in your own strength, I'll not be long till you're walking with a problem. You need the anointing today. This applies no matter what season of life we find ourselves in. She made a sacrifice of praise, and then the Bible says she poured out the oil. But here's the thing, she didn't just pour the oil onto the ground. She didn't just pour the oil on anywhere other than where the prophet said she could pour, and that is into an empty vessel. See, it was far too precious. The oil is too precious to just put on the ground or just pour out in some liberal manner. The oil is for a vessel, and the minute there was no vessel left, then there was no more oil. See, as long as there's a hunger, as long as there's a vessel to receive that anointing, the oil will flow. See, when faith and the anointing come in contact with each other, then something supernatural always happens. And I'm believing that as you have the...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.